I know we are past Thanksgiving. I know that. But Thanksgiving, to me, is so short and yet so good, I think it's necessary to take two Sundays each year to give thanks and to be thankful. Not that we're not every Sunday, but I'm focusing yet this morning on giving thanks, and then the rest of this month we will spend most of this month at least, we will spend on the Christmas, the Advent season and the Christmas season and the celebrations of the birth of Jesus and God's gift to us and all that. And like I said last week, I want to give you another chance to say what you're thankful for today. I know that there are others that are thankful for many things. I know that because last week on the way out, somebody said, I had my hand up and you didn't see me. So I know that you have still got things you are thankful for. And before we get to that point, you can be thinking about that. I'm going to share with us three verses of things that were in my mind this week about, well, things I'm thankful for. But I was reading the other day on Facebook, and perhaps you saw this too if you spent any time on there. Here's what the quote said. We are the only nation on earth that gives thanks one day for all of our blessings, then the very next day we go out and trample each other to death to get some more. I think they're right. What I saw on heard on the radio and saw even on public broadcasting news, I think that quote was pretty close to right. We give thanks all one day, and the next day we go out and trample each other to death to get some more. That's kind of sad, though, really, ain't it? But that's what we do. And so I just hope that you have had a good Thanksgiving week. I was sitting with the Cyrus family here on Friday evening. A lot of you know Glenn. Glenn's been around here working on cars. If you think of Glenn, you think of cars. He's been around here his whole life. He was 81 years old. And I was sitting right here in the front of the church meeting with their family on Friday night, the day after Thanksgiving, and Glenn's beloved. Glenn and Audrey have been with us a lot over the years, although the last couple of years they've not been here that much because they've been frail and not well. And so they've not been here much the last couple of years, but they have been part of us. And Audrey said to me as we were sitting here preparing for the funeral tomorrow morning, she said, now everything, because she lost her husband of 61 years on Thanksgiving Day, she said, now that's what I have to look forward to. Thanksgiving, remembering this. And I said, that may be true, but there is so much to be thankful, including the 61 years. And so when I think of Thanksgiving, a lot of us think of great joy and a great time to be with family and friends. But sometimes that isn't always the case for everybody. Sometimes it's a very hard day, and Christmas season is a very hard time because they've just lost their loved one or whatever the case may be. And so while we're rejoicing in festivities and fun, let us remember those that may have a difficult time of giving thanks or celebrating at Christmas season. Now, those three verses, and then I'm going to invite you to share again. Before I share again, the first one, if you've got your Bible, there's only three. Why don't you turn along with me? The first one comes from Romans 5:8. Romans 5, verse 8. This is one of the first verses. I've told you this before. This is one of the first verses that we teach our Awana children, and it's a powerfully good verse. And when I think of verses and I think of the capturing of the whole of the Bible, this is one of them that I love so well. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I'm thankful about that. I'm thankful that in our sinfulness, God recognized we needed to be redeemed. God recognized we need to be atoned for. And we have this verse so adequately stated in Romans 5. But God lays out his love for us, his intense love, his great love towards us while we are still a long ways off, while we are still bound in sin, while we are still sinners, he sent his one and only Son to redeem us, to atone for our sin. And I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but I thank God every day I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And I'm thankful to God that He did love us. He loved you. He loved me. He loves humanity so much that He sent His Son to die in our place so that we wouldn't have to die in our sins. And so I'm just thankful that we've been redeemed. And if you've been redeemed, I pray and hope that you're thanking God daily. You've been redeemed. It makes an eternal difference. 1 Corinthians 10:13 is another verse that I like so well when I think of being thankful. You know this verse too. It says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful." That's what I'm thankful for, His faithfulness. "But God is faithful," who, here's what it says He's faithful about, "who will not allow you to be tempted," or me, "who will not allow us to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with that temptation will also make for you the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." And so when I think of this verse, I think of the faithfulness of God, who knows precisely what you can take. He knows precisely what I can take, and He will not allow you to be tempted or tried above what you can take. He knows you better than we do, doesn't He? He knows what we can take, because we come to Him and say, "I can't take no more." And God is faithful. He will not give us more than we can take. And in every occasion, if we're tempted or tried or whatever else, He will also provide for us a way of escape. He is faithful. We were just talking about this verse on Tuesday night in our Bible study. We're doing the same thing on Tuesday night that a lot of you all are doing on Sunday night, the character of a follower of Jesus. And we're talking about this verse a little bit. God knows us better than we know ourselves, because the Bible is true when it says He will not let you be tempted more than what you have the power to say no to. Oh, you may not think you have the power. And matter of fact, there may be times we don't even want to take the power or advantage of saying no. But God is faithful, and there is no temptation that has overtaken us ever that we can't say no to. And so I'm thankful for His faithfulness. And the other verse that I want to share with you before I open it up again to you is 1 John 1:9. I know that you know that one. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, and yes, we have been bound in sin. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then in Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of that sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so when we see in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, again, it says He is faithful. I'm so thankful for forgiveness of sin. Amen? Anybody else thankful for that? I am too. I am so thankful for forgiveness of sin. And so these three verses, I've got some more if time allows, and it looks like we got lots of time today, but I've got some more for us. But these three verses are the ones I've been meditating on this week. I'm so thankful to God for His love, His great love for us, that He sent Jesus to die in my place. He sent Jesus to shed His blood for my sin. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for His faithfulness. Even though when we're not faithful, sometimes we're not faithful to each other. Sometimes we're not faithful to our best friends right here in church. God is faithful. I'm so thankful for that. And so I wonder this morning, what have you been thinking about, you're thankful for, you want to share with the rest of us? Go ahead, Michelle.
I want to say that I think Albert and I are very thankful for the time that we had Margie and Deb and Jerry as neighbors. We wish them well.
Amen. Many of you know Margie and Debbie very well. They're our very close neighbors to Ellen, Michelle, and Sherry and I, and they're moving this week. And I'm thankful for the time we've had to know you too. I praise God for you and wish you the best on your next chapter. I will. Who's next? Like I said last week, I do have more scripture, but if you want to share some things you're thankful for. You know how short our Thanksgiving songs were this morning? They're so short, we have a lot of time. I like those songs, but they're brief. And so I wouldn't normally even be in the pulpit this time yet. And so here we are, time for you to share. Who has something? Please, Ian.
This is kind of a... Yes, no? There we go. 2 weeks ago, Pastor challenged us to, can you spend time with the Lord for an hour a day? I haven't done that yet. Hopefully you have. But the thing that really makes me sad and grateful is this. I was leaving the sermon. I listened to a famous pastor going home on the radio, and it was very interesting. And it involves all of us, and it's very simple. No matter what your walk is with the Lord, whether you have a walk, you feel you're very up in the church, or you're a sinner and you haven't accepted the Lord yet, this is what I learned. Is talk about the secret place in all of our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And forgive me if I get a little sad here. But what it was this. It's kind of hard. Is that... It was talking about the secret place. And we have this spot where we're all ashamed of. We don't want to share it. And then what happened, the story was, is a very successful person, high in the church, and Jesus came into the room with that secret place and said, I'm here to look. And he goes, no, Lord, don't come here. This is my place. Do not come. And Jesus went in there, and he opened up all the file cabinets of his history of his life, and what he's doing wrong, what he's doing right. And the explanation was simply was this. Jesus looked at him with sadness, but love.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, the guy goes, Lord, don't do this. I'm ashamed of this. I rejected you. Don't do this. And Jesus just said, I love you. And he wrote, he said, paid in full mm-hmm. on all these sinner cards. He said, bright flowing. Red blood.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm here to tell you is that even though you're like me and you struggle on a daily basis, Jesus loves you and will accept you for whatever you've done and take that forgiveness. If you just picture that room in your own heart where you know you're failing and he's looking at you with love in your eyes, it says, paid in full.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have to say.
Amen. Thank you, Ian. Amen. Who's next? Something you're thankful for. Ev, you want this?
Hello? Okay. Okay, I wanted to speak up last Sunday, but I didn't. And I guess the thing that I'm thankful for is that God gives you power that you don't know you have, and he gives you the ability, and he takes the pressure off is the basic what I want to say. Like, you got to fight through the fear, but like I feel it every Sunday. I fight through the fear of getting up and playing, and then he anoints it. Or you fight through the fear, and you just tell somebody what God did in your life, mm-hmm. and then he is the one who makes that seed stick, and then he is the one, his spirit is the one who is responsible for saving that person. So it's just, it's so cool that all you have to do is be faithful and tell people what he's already done for you,
mm-hmm.
and he takes the pressure off. It's his from then on, and so I'm just thankful for that
Amen.
It's not our fault.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ev. While I'm waiting to see hands, I want to just say that when I think of what God has done around here in the last few years, I'm very, very thankful. I know a lot of your testimonies, and I've heard a lot more. We've had the blessing of hearing on some Sunday nights over the past couple of years some of the testimonies. Bob Brown, Dan have given their testimonies. Terry Brown on Sunday night, powerful testimonies of transformation. how God has redeemed them, set them free. And I think of the people that are most times sitting with us on Sunday mornings on one of the services, like Jeff Cizik, my high school buddy, who wandered in here a year and a half or so ago, pretty well at the bottom, pretty well the only place he could go and look was up. And Jesus met him right here the very first day he walked in and transformed him, redeemed him, saved him. When I think of stories like that, they abound. I was talking to my brother Ben Richards here a while back, and the story of his testimony, transformation and power, testimony of God. It's a God story. Oh, I'm thankful. Maricela and Dennis Vasquez. I've been trying for a couple of years to get Dennis to share his testimony. I'll be working on Ben here in a while too. I like to hear testimonies. I like to hear God's stories, and they're good for us. And I've been asking Dennis for a couple of years to share with you his story. It is a miracle. It is a God story. Redeemed. Saved by the blood of the Lamb. Transformed. Oh, I love them stories. And I am so thankful what God is doing in your lives. Linda Beebe said it last week. I am so thankful for the grace of God, even to the 11th hour. Her mama was 2 weeks away from eternity. And she gave her heart to Jesus. 2 weeks from eternity. 70 plus years without Jesus. And 2 weeks from eternity. And she said yes to Jesus. Oh, I'm so thankful what God has done here. I am so thankful what He's doing here. Les and I pray, and some of you pray with us on Saturday nights right here. We pray every week for what God is doing here in our community and the other churches. We pray every week that God will keep doing it. I'm so thankful what He's done in your lives. I'm so thankful for the healing, physical healing that we've seen right here. Remember Orville Riggi? Some of you never got a chance to meet Orville. He's moved away now. He used to be a member here, part of our church. He was on dialysis. He was failing fast. And you began to pray for him. And lo and behold, he goes back to the doctor and he said, "You don't need dialysis anymore." God healed him. Do you remember several years ago, some of you, that little 17-ounce baby? How many remember that little girl? Some of you weren't here. I know this is 5-6 years ago. I asked you to pray for this 17-ounce baby. That's how big she was when she came into the world. I was right beside her cube, her little incubator in Minneapolis Children's Hospital. They wouldn't even let me touch. But Grandma had called me. I was working with Grandma, and she called me, and she said, "Jim, we need some prayers." And I went down there and I got with Daddy and prayed over this baby in this little incubator. And I brought this name of this baby back to you. And you prayed and you prayed and you prayed for a 17-ounce baby. That baby is now in our Awana. I praise God for what He's done here. Tony Dumprop will be here next service. Tony's from Leader. And Tony got lung cancer. And the doctor told him that this is inoperable. And Tony comes here on a Sunday-to-Sunday basis now free of lung cancer. God has done miracles of transformation in the 11th hour or not. I praise God for your transformations in the second hour of life, because then you can serve Him and as Ev said, tell somebody else what He's done for you. I'm so thankful for what God has done here. I'm so thankful. I've seen it over and over and over, and I want to keep seeing it because there's more people that need Jesus. There's more people that are struggling. There's more people that haven't found their way to the cross of Calvary yet and met with the Master heart to heart. And so we keep praying for transformations. We keep praying for redemption. We keep praying for salvation. And we keep praying for miracles. But He's doing them. God's doing them. He's doing these things in our midst. And I'm so thankful. How about you? Anybody else ready now? Mary, you want this?
Well, I'm really thankful for two praying grandmothers and parents and our four children and grandchildren. Probably all are in church today, and I'm really thankful for that.
I mentioned last week our heritage. I'm so thankful for my Christian heritage too. Praying parents who took me to church, probably some of the times kicking and screaming. I'm so thankful for my heritage. Christian?
I'm thankful for all the people that I know.
That's pretty sweet, buddy. Margie.
I'm not good at this, but I thank you all. Yeah. And I pray for each and every one of you, and I won't forget you.
Thank you, Margie. Thank you. Lord bless you.
Well, I'm thankful for parents that made sure we were in church every Sunday, and for a very loving family. My sisters, my the cousins, the nieces and nephews, there's not one that wouldn't do anything for you. And that's a very special thing. I'm thankful for our church family and for all the people that have prayed for my daughter, Monica. She's doing well. First of January, well, not the first, but shortly thereafter, she starts radiation. And so I'd appreciate if you continue to pray for her and continue to pray for me. Last Monday, I had a really bad pain attack. And last night, during the night, extremely bad. So I need your continued prayers. And I'm thankful for a good husband, for his love and that he's a Christian, and for our home. I know God directed us there. He brought us there, and we have such wonderful neighbors. And
amen.
And just friends in the neighborhood. It's so good. God is so good.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm thankful for a wonderful pastor and assistant pastor followed the Lord's leading.
Thank you. God is good, isn't he? He's always good to us. I mentioned to the second service last week, specifically, if you get a chance to go on a search engine like Google or something else, put in Abraham Lincoln's Thanksgiving Proclamation. I don't think I mentioned that to the first service, but I do. I know I did to the second. And I just want to read a couple of lines from that. The time is 1863. The setting is the Civil War. We're well into the Civil War. And there has been tremendous loss of life. Gettysburg has even happened. The Gettysburg Address has happened. And there comes a time when a lady, I mentioned her by name last week, at least to the second service, kept coming to four consecutive presidents and suggesting that we have a national day of giving thanks. Each state in the Union at that time had their own day. George Washington said we need to do this, so the states of the Union at that time had their own day, and in 1863, Abraham Lincoln's proclamation for Thanksgiving established the day that we celebrate, the Thursday, the last Thursday. But I want to read for you just a couple sentences from that proclamation. Here's how it starts. The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. They're in the middle of the Civil War. And yet they write, the year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come. And I wonder sometimes if we too are prone to forget the source of our blessings from which they come. And he says a lot more. He starts to talk then about the specific blessings about the land, and he does talk about the conflict, the military conflict that they're in. And then he gets down towards the last part of it, and he writes, "No human counsel," he's just talked about a lot of the blessings in America at the time, "no human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. These are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sin, hath nevertheless remembered mercy." Boy, that's good stuff. And then he writes, "It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of," here's what the day is for, "thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens." That's what the day is for. And I know it's behind us now, 2-3 days. But this season is a time to give thanks to our Heavenly Father, to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. He's inviting the entire nation to do that, to give God thanks and praise. He said, this day of thanksgiving and praise to our Father, to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. And so I just thought it necessary today to take another Sunday to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I'm going to close with this. When you think of the book of Jonah, you may not think of Thanksgiving themes. But in the second chapter of Jonah, you know the setting, right? Jonah chapter 2. You know about Jonah, right? Give me an affirmative here if you know about Jonah. I don't have time to tell you the whole story. If you don't know, you're going to have to read it. Jonah 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Very short book. In Jonah chapter 2, he is now in the belly of the whale. Even our kids can understand these stories. He's now in the fish's belly. And I got to thinking about being in the fish's belly. Kind of dark, I presume. Kind of smelly, I presume. But he was still alive by the hand of God. And here's why I brought together, I'm going to bring this to a close with Jonah chapter 2, because some of you feel like you are in the fish's belly. Some of you feel like all hope is lost. Some of you will feel like some of these words, "all the billows and the waves have passed over me. I have been cast out of your sight." Some of you feel that way. But even in this difficulty, the Bible says Jonah cried out to God. Jonah chapter 2 starts like this. "Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to you, O Lord, because of my affliction." And then he said, "And he answered me." Isn't that good? Even though it may seem like we are in the bottom. My buddy up here the other day, he's not here this morning, but you know my buddy Jeff Cizik and how God has redeemed him. I was talking about the prodigal. I was talking about the pig pen. And he came forward after the close of that service in weeping and tears. And he said, "I'm thankful that he rescued me from the pig pen." And some of you are in the fish's belly. Some of our family is in the fish's belly. Some of our neighbors and our friends are in the fish's belly. They're wondering, is there any hope? There's certainly no light. There's seaweeds, he says. There's seaweeds tangled about my head. Weeds wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed in behind me forever. And yet, he said, yet, O God, you have brought me my life up out of the pit, O Lord and my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. And with the voice of thanksgiving, Jonah chapter 2 ends. He's in the whale's belly. And with the voice of thanksgiving, I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is to the Lord. And the next thing the Bible says, so the Lord spoke to the fish, and the fish vomited out Jonah onto dry land. Sometimes it feels like we found ourselves in the fish's belly. But even in the fish's belly, when we cry out to the living God, he will hear you and he will respond. He is available. And so if that's how you're feeling today, friends, trust him. Cry out to him. He will respond. And you can cry out just like Jonah. With the voice of thanksgiving, I will make my vow unto the Lord and I will follow him. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you. You've been so good to us. We've heard it over and over and over again this morning. Your gracious hand of mercy, your loving hand of forgiveness, your faithful hand not to give us more than we can bear, but you're always with us, even when it seems like we are at the valley of the shadow of death, even when we are in the fish's belly, even when we have reached the low point of our life, you are there. Thank you, Father, for being there with us and so available. If only we will cry out and reach out to you, the living God. Thank you for our heritage, has been mentioned again today. Thank you for our church family. Thank you for prayer warriors. Thank you for people that give of themselves their time, their talents, their resources to make the kingdom what it is today. Thank you, Father, for your blessings to us in Motley Free Methodist Church and in other churches around us. Thank you for your blessings, your provision, your protection to us. Thank you for salvation to young and old alike, rich and poor. Thank you for friends. Some of them move away. Some of them pass away. Thank you for their friendships. Thank you for your word. Help us to take that time. Help us to take that time, Lord, an hour a day to spend in your word and in prayer. To take that time seeking you. And remember, as Ian has said again this morning, when we come to you, it's paid in full. It's paid. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. Hear our voices as we sing this little song. Even now, great is thy faithfulness. Hear us, Lord, and receive it, our thanksgiving to you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.